family, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to another edition of Blueprint for Life, Zion Calling, during this great time of an awakening. Yes, this is a broadcast that's been coming to you for some time. I am the preacher, and this particular broadcast is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, and we are delighting in this fact that today is a day of rest and blessings, the Sabbath, a day that the Most High has created for his people to have a rest. And in this hour, it's a time for relaxation of one's mind, soul, spirit, body, to cease from troubling with the wicked, the heathens, the Gentiles that are living in fear and vaccinating themselves. I hope you've been listening to Health is Wealth on Wednesdays, where we cover herbs and holistic lifestyle, spirituality, working out, just keeping our bodies fit. But the reason I bring that up, because I think we have something to be concerned about on the rise, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday, the Most High willing. Probably won't be coming to you next week. Take a week off, but then we'll pick right back up. It's a little concern out there, and I don't mean to get into this. I'm just saying this real quick. A little concerned about our being around people who have gotten the jab, that there's the potential for them to spread something a lot more dangerous, powerful, and serious threat to the public and to humanity. So we want to keep that in mind. All right, so before we get started on our lesson, it's going to be a little bit different today. We're going to kind of just have a little conversation, a little talk. I need to right some wrongs from last week, some conversations that we had that weren't quite accurate. And it seems like since Satan is the prince and power of the airwaves, we had a lot of technical difficulties last week. I mean, I was knocked off. Other people were knocked off. People couldn't get on. I couldn't see who was on the show, who was calling. Just the speaking portion was totally blocked. And we know there are algorithms, shadow bands, different things at work right now to pick up on certain conversations, certain words, to censor us and the message and the word to our people who are waking up in droves. Not only are the people of the Most High waking up, but seeds of Satan are waking up too, and the covers being pulled back, the apocalypto, the removing of the covering of that was hidden. Knowledge is so vast, it's everywhere, and people are being informed, finding the information. But here today, I finally decided to focus on what we need to do in this hour spiritually, how to change our lives, and how to have a closer walk with our Creator and the Most High and not live in fear. So we have to allocate this day, the Sabbath, to that, to understanding, so that as the Ruach, which is the Holy Spirit, is teaching you, which the Bible said, whom the Bible said should teach you, connect the dots, in other words, and cause you to see things that have been altered, even in the Holy Scriptures, that have been altered by man, the Nicene Council, the Council of Trent. But there's nothing. You can't pull the wool over the Creator's eyes or his children and his people who are in tune, in sync, on the same frequency, operating under the shadow and auspices of the heavenly tabernacles. It doesn't happen. It said that he would lead you and guide you into all truth. And we know that Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And we know that Satan is the father of lies. And so we're here to separate ourselves from the lies. Towards the end of the show, we'd love to hear from you, or if you have a question or comment, we'll ask you to press 1 towards the end of the lesson and the show, and we'll bring you in to hear your question or comment. Let's go before our Abba in prayer, but before we do that, let's just hear a little bit of Shemai Israel. Shemai Yasharal. Shemai Israel was a greeting, a salutation, if you will, amongst Hebrews when they encountered one another, seeing that we were spread throughout the four corners of the earth, and so were the other 10 tribes. So right before we get into it. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Give my people strength over oppression, depression, suicidal thoughts, and give them to know that all things work together for the good of them that love you, Most High, our Yah, our Creator. So I ask that your power, your anointing, increase the faith of your people as they hear the words from your prophets throughout the four corners of this earth, the remnant of your people who strive to connect and be close to you and to come out of bondage, the bondage of religion, which caters to the seed of Satan. But he that the Son sets free is free indeed, and we know that's through your knowledge and the uncovering and revealing of truth to your people. We thank you in advance. It's in the name of Yeshua we pray. Amen. You know, the lesson, title of the lesson today is Shadow Power. Before I get into shadow power, I want to talk about some things that did transpire last week that I want to comment on as it pertains to the covenant and the covenant that we are involved in that many people don't understand. First of all, the covenants, there are many covenants, and that's what people don't understand in the Word that took place. There are seven covenants in the Word of Yah in the Holy Hebrew Scrolls. And, of course, that being the Edenic covenant, a covenant that was established in the Garden of Eden, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, which stands out to most people dealing with the law, and the priestly covenant, then there's a Davidic, King David covenant, and then we have the new covenant mentioned in the New Testament. And a lot of people don't quite understand that there's various covenants, but we're going to focus on the covenant that exists now and how it's spoken of in 1 Peter 2 and 9, that we are royal priesthood, chosen generation. That is a part of that covenant, and that covenant is spoken of in Hebrews, the seventh chapter. I'm going to read that a little bit later. But these are promises and pacts that the Most High makes with his people. And what we are trying not to be involved with is making covenants with Satan or with this world. A covenant is an agreement. When you take on especially bribery, money, from Satan's kingdom, and you make an agreement with him to do something that you know is outside of the will of Yah, that's a problem. So we have to be careful about our covenants. The scripture tells us that we should not make oaths. Don't swear. That I bet you didn't even realize that that meant, like, even when you were in school, putting your hand over your heart and looking at an idol called a flag and pledging allegiance to a flag for a country that was built based off of spilt blood and slavery and the backs of other people, and you swore an allegiance to it. These are the type of covenants that Yah has come to break off of you that have kept you in bondage. You swore covenant to religious practices and beliefs that have altered what the Most High set in motion a long time ago. It's like the confusion that came out last week about not knowing when to keep the Sabbath. Based on calendars, some people are following a lunar calendar, some a solar, some the Gregorian, some the Julian, the Enochian calendar. Well, we live in this captivity underneath the Gregorian calendar. And Satan has confirmed to you that the Sabbath is on Saturday because in his satanic Vatican Catholic Church, which is responsible for the Spanish Inquisition and Roman rule, the Romans took it upon themselves once they figured they had conquered the entire land through their Spanish Inquisition to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. They confirmed it for you that it is on Saturday. And the word Sabbath is through Spanish language and Latin language actually goes back to the number seven. It is the seventh day that we rest. So in order for us to walk in this covenant that Yah, our creator, has established for us, we must accept his son, Yesha, whom some call Jesus, but we don't refer to him as Jesus because that's a false image and a false messiah of a Eurocentric lie that was presented to you. We know that his Hebrew name, which is his name in every country and language, we don't take these mistranslations, is Yesha. And then when we say Yesha, Yah, we are saying his name is connected to the Father because they are one. Yesha is our husband, the Savior that will come back for the bride of Christ and the woman that is known as Israel. Israel is the anointed name of Jacob, who wrestled with the angel face to face and is our heritage, whom the promise came through with his 12 sons, which establishes the 12 tribes of Israel. An agreement is between them that bear the name. This should help you to understand why many people will change their names once they come into the knowledge of the fact that they're wearing the name of a Gentile heathen who was actually their slave owner and master, and that we've gotten away from our names. Because why is it important, you say? Because the scripture says in Chronicles, the seventh chapter, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. So what may seem a little incidental, not necessary to you, does become necessary. It's an outward appearance of you accepting a new agreement and covenant that you're under the auspices. But that's for a later time. I just wanted to put that out because you have to come into that conviction on your own. Some people choose to ignore certain things. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then we can get lazy because we don't want to do the study. And it's important that you do the studying. If you don't want to do the studying, then you need to get up under a teacher or a ministry that's going to present these facts to you and these truths to you, and then allow the Holy Spirit to confirm it with you. Let's talk about these covenants. In the Hebrew Bible, in our Hebrew history book, which this world calls the Bible, the Most High established the Mosaic covenant with the Israelites after he saved us from slavery in Egypt. And that's in the story of Exodus. Now, that covenant, when Moses and his people reached Mount Sinai on the way to the promised land, Yah spoke to Moses. It was there that Yah made a covenant with Moses and the Hebrew people that renewed the one he had made with Abraham. And see, so when you start talking about covenants, you have to go as far back as the book of Numbers, the biblical covenants, and then go into the Eden covenant that he had with Adam and Eve, and the Noahic covenant, and the Abrahamic covenant. So many things that have been hidden from us from the books being removed that we fail to understand that Noah was warned and given a covenant. Abraham was told that everyone needed to be circumcised. And one of the parts I love in the book of Jubilees is where the angels gave Noah a book of herbs. Let me read that real quick. I don't want to derail from what I'm talking about, but Most High gave Noah a book of herbs because the angels warned them that the people were going to fall into sin, and that the sin they were going to fall into was going to be was going to lead to sickness. Their unrighteousness would lead to sickness. And so that's where we see in that also that covenant that the Most High began to teach Noah through the angels the working of herbs and medicines that come from the earth to help deal with a sin. Now listen, sin, we know, sin, 1 John 3:4, sin is transgressing the law and breaking his commandments. You have to be careful when you come on the scene telling people that we're no longer under the law. And I'm going to break a little bit of this down. I'm not going to get too far into it because that's not the title of my lesson. The title of the lesson today is Shadow Power. And it'll tie into what we're talking about. You have to understand this about the law. Then I'll read this covenant piece. In regard to the book of the law of Moses' law, I'll find the scripture about Moses a little bit later. It's in the book of Jubilees. And I'm emphasizing that please get you a copy of the book of Jasher, Jubilees, and Enoch, because this is where all the jewels are. That's why they took them out, to hide the truth from you of who you are as a people. Please get your hands on a copy of this book. Now, in regard to the book of the law of Moses that people want to say is done away with, let's listen to it closely. Deuteronomy 29, verses 21, and Deuteronomy 30 and 10. I'll go ahead and read that for you. First, let me say this. The Lord commanded, the Most High commanded Moses, saying, take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Most High, that it may be there as a witness against you. That was Deuteronomy 31 and 26. So when we look at Deuteronomy 29 and 21, I'll read that for you real quick. Deuteronomy 29 and 21. And the Most High shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes, out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. The curses of the covenant, the agreement that are written in this book of the law, Torah. Let's look at 30 and 10. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are his laws, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And that was a commandment that he gave as well, which was a part of the covenant. Many commentators disagree about what I mentioned earlier, that there was two tablets of stone, which are the Ten Commandments that are inside the Ark of the Covenant. Many didn't realize that the law was as for a testimony against the Hebrews, the children of Israel, how they had to be put back in line. What was the purpose of this? Purpose of this is because as Moses first gave, let me read this to you. Moses first met with the elders. You find this in Exodus 24, 1 through 18. And Moses had selected 70 elders, the Most High told him to do this. And the call to worship and the confirmation of the covenant you'll find in Exodus 24, verses 1 through 11. And so we were not up under Levitical priesthood when this was established. We had Aaron and his sons who operated as priests, an Aaronic priesthood. But later came a Levitical priesthood, and that had to be established because as Moses was receiving He had already established the covenant and sprinkled it with blood here, along with the 70 elders, and we were all to be operating as we operate today as priesthood, spoken of in 1 Peter 2 and 9. But we got out of it because we immediately sinned against the Most High and began to build a golden calf and follow the ways of the Gentiles, the heathens, stuff that we learned in Egypt. Moses stayed up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights, and they figured he wasn't coming back, so they moved on to something else. And they were without law at the time, so they were in sin at the time. So they had no idea while they were making an idol, Moses was receiving instructions to the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He was actually speaking these things to Moses during those 40 days. Moses came down, found out that the children of Israel had sinned against Yah. He wanted to kill those people. He said, I can see these people. They are a stiff-necked, hard-headed people. I'm going to kill them. Moses reminded Yah and told him, if you do this, they'll say you brought them out of Egypt just to destroy them. And he implored the Most High to please not kill them. So he gave him another chance and gave Moses an opportunity to write laws, a book of the law for them that they had to adhere to, because the law is for sin, and they were in sin, and they were unrighteous. And Yah calls for righteousness and cleanliness. And this is why we see so many aspects of the law that are not necessary anymore, and especially when one comes to Christ, he becomes redeemed, saved, and walks away from this life. As it pertains to the law, you need to understand that the law is not completely all done away with, and I'm going to teach on this in 1 second. We're going to slide into the lesson, which is shadow power. The law is not done away with. Portions of the law are done away with. We are not in our homeland, so we have no temple. We are all priests, but we do not sacrifice animals anymore. We don't have to shed blood, and a lot of the governmental laws and practices have been obliterated. We don't need them because we're in our captivity now. What's still there are the holy days, which are some of the ceremonial laws. And then there are, the sacrificial laws are gone, but the dietary law is not done away with. That's not what Peter's dream was when he saw all types of animals on a white handkerchief. And it said, rise, Peter, slay and eat, and that did away with dietary laws. That's a lie, and you were taught a lie, and that's all wrong. The dietary laws are still in play. And then there's the moral law, which consists of the Ten Commandments, which will never be done away with. And if anybody tells you, like Creator Flo Dollars did in his pulpit, saying that you don't even have to keep the Big Ten, he knew that those ten were separate from the other law. That's why he said you don't even have to keep the Big Ten. Everybody knows that the ten are moral standards, which are a blueprint for how we should live our lives today. Come on, thou shall not kill, honor your mother and father, don't commit adultery. You're going to tell me that's done away with. Where's your common sense? So nevertheless, there's so many things, you know, I've been studying this, and so many things running through my mind that I want to share with you, but I just wanted to cover, get a substratum of background on this. So if we better understand that what was set in place was immediately broken by sin, so they had to be put back in place to bring them back to Yah, because the covenant couldn't exist where man could walk as a priesthood. So there had to be shedding of blood. At first, there was blood established on that covenant with the 70 elders and the sprinkling of that covenant. It was a book. Then later, there had to be that covenant along with laws to help us deal with sin so we could see ourselves in our sin, because it's our schoolmaster, until Christ would come and redeem us from the curse of the law. Therefore, the curse of the law at that time, death. And not until Christ came will we redeemed from the curse, because the scripture said, cursed is everyone that hangs from a tree. And the Messiah was killed on a tree, hung from that tree. We covered this in another lesson, not a cross, a tree. And that curse made it so where we can step into grace and mercy. And the grace and mercy is what covers us through his blood, the shedding of his blood. That's what killed off the ceremonial aspect of the law. Because prior to that, we had to have a priest that could go before the Most High and atone for our sins. But now that he has died, the Bible says we can boldly approach the throne and make our own petitions known, because we are now all operating in the priesthood. Let's read 1 Peter 2 and 9 so you can understand that, and then we'll go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says this. I hope you're still with me. I know I'm going through some things pretty quick. Where are we? Here we are. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of Yah, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Then he goes on to talk about the strangers and the pilgrims that, you know, want to sojourn with us. But I need you to focus on 9, what you are now because of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Let me jump over somewhere before we go to Hebrews 7. Let's go to the book of Amos. And what I'm doing is what Isaiah said. Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little bit here, a little bit there. Your studying and learning has to be a confirmation of 2 or 3 witnesses in different books speaking. Not your mama and your neighbor agree on the same thing. That's not 2 or 3 witnesses. The witnesses are the prophets, the apostles, and the Torah. Confirm it with at least 2 or 3 scriptures that can confirm and evidence what it is that you're trying to get across and explain to people. Amos 3. Listen to Amos 3. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. That's every race, every nation. I only know one. I chose one. You're not Ham, you're Shem. We spoke about that. But Ham, Shem, and Japheth were all brothers, all of the dark race of the human race. I'm not going to get into that lesson today. But the fallen angels have a seed, and these people are completely opposite from the people that Yah created. We've been infiltrated, and their mannerisms, what they believe, and how they look, it's been infiltrated amongst our people. But what I want you to see is how there's only one family. Most High said, it's the only family I've ever known. I don't know any other family. I don't know them. This is why you'll have so many people, according to Matthew 7, 21 through 23, saying, he'll be telling so many people, depart from me. I never even knew you. I never knew you. Now, what's so important about that? 1 John 2 and 3, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But if you say you love me and keep not my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So here is the big thing. Who did he give the commandments to? Israel. He gave the oracles to. And who did he say I would curse if you don't keep it? Israel, all in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. So what do we have? We have a new formed belief system, which comes from Satan, the Vatican, the Catholic Church, a Protestant faith, which is a religion which has nothing to do with Yah. We have spirituality indicative of our culture that's being hidden from us of being the true Hebrews. And that spirituality is protected and in covenant with our culture, our Hebrew belief system, our spirituality, and our commitment to his laws, which are the rules of his kingdom. You cannot be a part of a kingdom, a place, a civilization, if you don't play along by the rules. When you break the rules, no, you know, you get a pass if you're a foreigner or a stranger, which is what you see happening with those that are trying to put the religion of Christianity and so many other religions over Yah's laws. And the reason I say it comes from the Vatican, because Satan's seat is up in the Vatican. A lot of demonic stuff that goes on there to hide our history and to hide from the world who the people of the only family that Yah has ever known, who they are. Isaiah, the 14th chapter, tells you Satan's plan, which was to sit in that seat and to be like the Most High and to copy everything he has done and to create a religion. Satan also said in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and I shall be worshipped in every church. This is why you have a movement right now to solidify the religions and show them how they've all been worshiping one God when we move into a new world order with global governance and a one world church under the beast system and the Pope and the image of the beast, because we're going to see the similarities. So you need to understand Isaiah 14th chapter to see how this enslavement through religion has stripped our minds of the knowledge of self, because we were made in his image. And that's what we're going to get into today. When I say shadow power, I'm talking about the image. A shadow is an image, and you are the image of Yah. But let me not get ahead of myself, because I'm, you know, last week the brother got on there and he was off cue. And he was off because what we tend to do, those who are just coming to the Hebrew faith, I've been hailing this word for 40 years, not trying to pat myself on the back, but some have just came in to Hebrew misinformation, because you got a lot of agents in this thing that don't have the Holy Spirit, that are misguiding people, not baptizing people, dressing like Power Rangers, and have lost their minds. This is just like ridiculous. And what they'll do is they'll minimize, because they're waking up to the truth about this priesthood, they'll minimize shadow and say, it's not totally necessary to do all these things because it's just a shadow. You're going to find out today that a shadow is much more than you think it is, a whole lot more than what's being perpetrated. Let's look at another one since we're in Amos, talking about the family. Let's go to verse 5 real quick. Hate the evil. Amos 5 and 15, I'm sorry. And it says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. There will be a remnant of people that will make it in. Let's go to Hebrews 7 chapter. And I'm just trying to gloss over this because I posted a lesson on Facebook under V the Preacher about no longer under the law, no longer under Aaronic priesthood, no longer under the Levitical priesthood. We are priests. We have a sacrificial Savior, our brother, Yeshua, who's making intercessions for us daily. The Bible said we don't even know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us. We don't know what to ask for. You ever, I'm getting off on a tangent. You should question yourself sometimes about praying what you're praying to an all-knowing Yah who knows what you have need of before you even ask. That right there tells you don't know how to pray. So you ask. And then we make the mistake after we ask of asking repeatedly every day, which is a lack of faith, which hinders your prayers. But let me continue. I see you, Brother Eric. I'm bring you in a second. Let me establish this point. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Let's get into the order of Melchizedek, which is the priesthood we're walking in. I'm going to start at verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also I'm going to read later on at the end of the lesson today, I'm going to read you a story of Abraham before his name was changed, and it was Abram, and how Abram actually rose up against his father who was worshiping false gods. And a lot of y'all thought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the only one thrown in the fire. Guess what? Abram was thrown in the fire to be destroyed. And he walked in that fire for 3 days and three nights without being destroyed. So I do want to encourage you today that in the midst of the fire we're going through, that if you put your trust in Yah and keep his commandments, which is why, and you're going to find out Abram kept the commandment of the covenant given to him. And this is what's going to protect you. These covenants, these commandments are protection, just like they were to Job. Satan said, I can't get to him because you've got that hedge around him. You want to have a hedge around you. Let me continue in Hebrews 7, verse 2. Let me skip to verse 3. This is an allegory right here saying, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of Yah, abideth a priest continually. Melchizedek was in this manner. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. We're going to find out about his dad. And his dad, his king was Nimrod. Nimrod was the one that threw Abram in the fire. We'll read that a little bit later on. Verse 5, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood, see this is back in Exodus, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the Levites became priests because when Moses came down, he drew a line in the sand and said, whoever's on the Lord's side, cross this line, because he broke up the party. There was an orgy, golden calf, drinking, hanging out. Just, you know how you Hebrews turn up. The Levites from the tribe of Levi, they crossed the line and slew about 3,000 people that day, killed them, who wanted to remain in sin. And they took on the priesthood from that point forward. Verse 5 says, they have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. As I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So the law was changed because the priesthood has changed. Yeshua is our priest, our high priest, and then we are priests according to 1 Peter 2:9, and we operate the priesthood because now we can go into the Holy of Holies and talk directly to the Father. We are connected through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is what gives us an attenuation to be able to connect to spiritual things and higher things. And it's what allows us to not just have a form of godliness, which is religion, the mask of Satan hiding in the church, but to have power. He said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will have power. That's the same power that even David had to kill a bear and to kill a lion and to kill a giant. And it's not just physical power. It can be wisdom. It's the gift of the Spirit. It's the working of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Power to overcome your flesh. Power to cast out demons. That's one of the biggest problems I have with a lot of people waking up and coming into the knowledge of the truth in these camps. No one seems to have power enough in Yah to cast demons out of these people that bring all of this post-traumatic stress disorder that our people have, Willie Lynch syndrome, lust sins, adultery, and suicide, getting high. These things have to be broken off people, and the only way that can happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit.
I understand that covenant is not going to change you. But walking into the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, even in Acts the 19th chapter, Paul met some astute men, you know, keeping the commandments and walking upright because they were in righteousness. And we find out in Psalms 119 that righteousness is in keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. But he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? You've got to have that power that separates you and puts you in the priesthood. I talked to somebody the other day. We were talking about the fact that everybody's in fear and running to get the jab. But the scripture said, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders so that they can lay hands on you and heal you. And then not only did Moses do that in Jubilees, the scripture I was going to read to you, but he also knew about the herbs for healing for these people that were in sin. Some of them had destroyed their temple by being in sin and picking up demons or sickness. But the person I was talking to was telling me there's no more anointed people that I can call that are true elders that have power. And I couldn't agree more, because many of you are walking around not believing in the power of Yah or the transformation that comes through the Holy Spirit to allow you to walk in this grace. Because if you've got the Spirit in you, then the commandments are written on your heart. See, the purpose of wearing the fringes was to remind them of the commandments. But we no longer need to wear the fringes to remind us, because when you receive the power, that comes from heavenly places now resides inside you and writes the commandments on your heart. You know what's right and you know what's wrong when you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a checker. The Holy Spirit will check you before you move. When you operate outside of that checking, you set yourself up for destruction, because the Bible says that Satan will come back and find your temple swept and clean and will go and get seven more worse demons to inhabit your body. And you know why he's able to come? Because your body's saying vacancy, because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell there anymore, because you grieved the Holy Spirit, overrode the Holy Spirit, and stepped over him and said, I'm going to sin anyway. I'm being selfish today. I'm going to have this affair. I'm going to get high today. I'm going to take vengeance in my hands today, and I'm going to hurt somebody. And you know you're wrong. The thing I hate, though, is that the people who black out and become demon-possessed and kill somebody and wake up in prison and realize, like, what did I do? What have I done? It's like after Satan plays you, you snap out of it, because he'll take over your mind, your spirit, everything, and then you snap out of it. And you're like, what have I done? Which is why we never ride the gift and power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Never override that voice in you, and never take for granted the power of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost was a great day for the outpouring, but let's not get it twisted. The Holy Spirit was around with David. When the anointing came on David, it would empower him. The Spirit came on Abram. We're going to read about that later. David would pray, take not that spirit away from me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore the joy of my salvation. It was when the Spirit came upon people, he empowered God and to represent him. Let me continue. Where did I leave off? Hebrews 7, priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar, Judah. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. So everything Moses was talking about, which is affixed to the outside of the Ark of the Covenant, we just talked, Deuteronomy 31:26, there it is. You're like, no, you don't put that. That's a testimony against what y'all did. You don't remember what happened. They kept putting you in this servitude. I brought you out of one captivity, and you're about to go into another one because you keep sinning against me. We kept sinning, and we're sinning against him now. And this is the final awakening. This is supposed to be our final captivity. There's an Egyptian, Syrian, Greek, Babylonian, Persian, Roman, and the American Babylon system captivity. These are the captivities because we keep sinning against the Most High. And he's saying, if my people who are called by my name come back to me. So this final awakening, we're seeing it taking place, but we have to really be retaught a lot of things. And that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit and no longer under bondage. Even the law, people teaching it and saying you must do all this. We can't keep all of this, which is why we have grace and mercy. But we must be filled with the power of the Spirit so that we can be sealed up until the day of redemption. That is our sealer. That is our protector. That's what keeps us in line with the Most High, but makes us part of the family and gives us the complete adoption. And it is yet far more, Hebrews 7:15, evident for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Similitude is likeness, like shadow, like image. Just like Yeshua is now our high priest, as it was with our father Abraham towards Melchizedek. I'm not teaching on Melchizedek today. Pick it up on another day. You have to get into the book of Jubilees and Jasher. Understand Melchizedek, Lamech, Noah, the line, Enoch, it was all of one seed, and that he was bringing up a people before they until they finally got to Abraham, who begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and then you get the 12 tribes coming from his 12 sons. That's like a two-hour teaching. He is made Yeshua after the similitude of Melchizedek, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And the book of life is spoken of in Baruch, the fourth chapter, the first verse. Also, we find out in Revelations 22:14 about those that do the commandments. They shall enter into the kingdom, which is coming here. People, let's get this straight. There's a new heaven and a new earth that's coming here. We're not going somewhere. It's coming here. Verse 17, for he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did by the which we draw nigh unto Yah. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest without an oath. For these priests were made without an oath, but this was an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth over, hath an unchangeable priesthood, where he is able also to save them to the othermost that come unto Yah by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them, for us. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us, who is wholly harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as the high priest used to do, to offer up sacrifices. We don't even have to do that anymore. First for his own sins, the priest used to have to do this first, and then for the people. For this he did once, Christ, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, the covenant, which was since the law, maketh the Son who was consecrated forevermore. And then when we go into verse 8, which I'm not going to do, it says that Christ supersedes the Levitical system. And we know this. And this is what graduates us into the priesthood, that we could walk. And that's why he said that it's open to many, it's open to men and women. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy when the Spirit comes upon them in the last days. And within this priesthood, we know what we're to do to operate, to bring people back to the holy days and the understanding of the gospel and what Christ put in position. It does not destroy the commandments, people. If people don't understand the four aspects of the Hebraic law and the Torah and Tanakh, you cannot destroy the Tanakh. You know good and well that he said in Matthew 5:14, not one jot or tittle of my word or this law will pass away until all of it has been fulfilled. His death on the cross was not the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Tanakh, which are the prophets, or what some of the law and the prophecies spoke of. Man today through media is trying to hide the fulfillment of these laws and different things taking place. Let's just go there real quick, because I need to read some of this stuff instead of quoting it. It comes to mind, but Matthew 5:14. I'm sorry, that's 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy any of that. I just came to fulfill it. And when he said fulfill, it was a portion of it, which would open it back up because he came only for the lost tribes of Israel. This thing didn't open up to Gentiles and heathens until Acts, the book of Acts, where Paul became an apostle to the Gentiles. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do the commandments and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes, that's those of the Torah and the Tanakh, and Pharisees, that was those who persecuted Christ, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if you're telling people to do away with this and then you're trying to do away with it and you're saying let's just forget all of that stuff back there in Moses' time, let's forget it all and let's just walk in this new priesthood, you are misinforming the people because it is a schoolmaster. And like I told somebody, just like when you got saved in church and went to new members class, you need to understand the law. Read Torah, read Tanakh, and understand the prophets and understand the law. And then you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Your life needs to be changed until the Holy Spirit can govern your life. And then that will help you to understand that the law, Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. When your conversion has transpired in the midst of time through understanding of the law, because some of these sisters that come to Yah, this is an example I'm only giving, they have to learn, they have to relearn how to dress and present themselves. Because in today's society, they're taught to present themselves in a seductive manner. All of the clothing designs and styles are geared towards, I mean, the shoes they wear now was the shoes the strippers wore on the pole in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Now that's fashion for 10-year-old girls, 12-year-old girls. So when you come into this, you need to learn how to represent yourself. How should I dress? What is a head covering? What is the purpose of a head covering? Do I have to wear it? How am I to be submissive and treat my... You've got to go back to understand. So it's not. This is not the Christian church, come as you are. You need to get sanctified and converted. We don't want you to come as you are. You need to repent. And repentance to do 180-degree turn, not 360, and keep going the direction you were going in. And that was the biggest lie of going to church on Sundays, because you went in there and came out exactly the same with a bunch of people that went to an idolatrous, paganistic altar, looked at a wooden cross and thought you was laying your sins down, and went right back outside after church, getting phone numbers, going to the club, party, whatever. I was one of them. Church by Sunday night, I was at the club trying to get drinks and numbers. What is that? What did I get that Sunday on man's Sabbath day that the Roman Catholic Church calls Sabbath day with the lie talking about Yeshua rose in that day? It's a lie from the pit of hell. Didn't get anything. Let's read some more scriptures about covenant. And then I'm gonna take a quick break, and I'm gonna go into this shadow power because it ties into the covenant. Because we ain't gonna let people keep playing down the scripture that says in Colossians 2:17, "Oh, the law is just a shadow of things to come." You don't do that, say that like that, and minimize Yah's word. You gotta be kidding me. Where am I going? Exodus 34 and 12. Exodus 34:12. Turning some pages today. It says, "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee." This is every captivity we've gone into. You know, you're interested in making a covenant with your oppressor, this government, which in Latin means antichrist, just to let you know. That's what that word government means. You are begging this government for reparations and more stimulus money. And you're going to do whatever they tell you to do, which is get the jab, take the mark, can't buy or sell. He warned you about covenants with your captivity and your oppressor, the colonizer. This is how we got in trouble every time, taking from them. I've got a book here called The View of the Hebrews, which is the indigenous people, which happened to be the northern tribes of the Hebrews of Israel, who were second Esdras, 1359, no, 49 through 69 tells us that they were under Assyrian captivity and they fled and went to a land called Arsarith where they could keep the commandments. And the explorers wrote books saying how they found out that these weren't Indians, Indios. These were the children of Israel with Hebraic customs. You can find the book View of the Hebrews by Ethan Smith. Many of the discoverers were trying to seek out and find out where we were because their goal was to destroy the indigenous of the land and whitewash the whole world. And then call themselves those tribes. But that's for another day. Let's look at verse 35 in Exodus 34. "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them." That's not the one I wanted. Okay. This is about the Sabbath. That's a part of the law too. So you're trying to do it while you're trying to say forget about everything that happened to Moses and that law, you have to understand. We are not under the law, but we are protected by the law, changed and transformed by the law. But the law is just a schoolmaster. You come into this new covenant by the blood of Yeshua, receiving it, accepting him as your Messiah, and then being born and filled with the Holy Spirit, which is your connectivity. Chapter 35 says, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Most High hath commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall you work, shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Most High. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." You're not supposed to cook. And if you didn't keep the Sabbath, then you'd be killed. If y'all forget to do it or don't do it right, you got grace and mercy now because of the sacrifice that Yeshua made. But that confirms right there that this portion has been changed and altered. And let me say another reason that I didn't say the Lord to let you know that the Nicene Council and other people who tampered with our books have instilled and injected words to confuse you in here. The word Lord in Hebrew is Baal, and Baal is another word for Satan. And that's why he said in the book of, I believe, Zechariah, he said, when he returns, Yeshua, thou shalt no longer call me Baali. We'll stop saying, oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because that is a word that is Baal. And now I'm going to have to find that scripture, because I can hear somebody say, where's that at? I'll bring it out. You're not supposed to strike a fire. When you try to get rid of the commandments, then you're getting rid of things such as that as well. The law, things that he's established. Exodus 16 and 23. I think that's the one I wrote down. Yeah, let's do that one. Exodus 16, 23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Most High hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Most High. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seize that ye will seize, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. There's a couple things here I want you to see. If you read earlier in Exodus 16, the whole chapter is talking about manna and quail. And he warned them in chapter 16 that what I give you for that day will spoil. So after every evening, at the end of the day, sun's going down, what was given to them would spoil. They were not allowed to covet. They had to, he was strengthening their faith to depend on his supplication, his supply to them. And then on the seventh day of rest, he demanded that they not do anything, burn fires, because he was going to give them enough on Friday to last through Saturday. A double portion. That's where that comes from. So there was no need. So Friday, I tell people all the time, too, that you need to understand the importance of Friday before sundown, it being preparation day, preparing for the Sabbath day. So it's a big day, and it's a day he wants to bless you, because he's going to make sure that what you have is not spoiled as you pull out from society and the world and separate yourself, because the Sabbath is a sign between us and him to the world and reaffirmation to ourselves. That's what we need to understand. So if you read all of 16, you'll see how this had to be done daily. It was so amazing that even the worms would begin to eat the bread would begin to stink, and then the bread would melt away. This is the manna from heaven. But then on the sixth day, none of that happened. These miracles were amazing. Let's read verse 25. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Most High. Today ye shall not find it in the field. He's not going to rain nothing down today, because he even taking a break today. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Stop letting people bring spirits of confusion in on you by telling you, oh, yeah, but they changed the times, and we don't know when the seventh day is, and we don't know when this day is. Man, stop the spirit of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. You don't have the Holy Spirit, which is why you're confused. The seventh day is the Sabbath, and there's no need of you trying to create a brand new first day and miscount to bring in confusion. I just told you the Catholic Church confirmed that it was Saturday by changing it to Sunday back in 1826 in the Arch-Catholic Edict, because the name Pope means Vicar of Christ, which says, I am the replacement of Christ. And Yeshua warned us about, many shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ. My God, today, Satan is a trip with this deception, and people just fall for the okey-doke. Let me finish reading about this Sabbath. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. It tells you about our people. Didn't I tell you I wasn't bringing you nothing on the seventh day? What you doing out here? Don't you know today's the Sabbath? You didn't prepare. on the sixth day. And if you allow me to get prophetic real quick, we're getting ready to move into a time of rest, the millennial kingdom period. We're in the last days. And his people who are truly connected and trying to find out what more can they do to get close to him as far as his commandments, as opposed to those people who are trying to find out what we don't have to do anymore, you're out of your mind. He's preparing his people who really are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, which is his commandments and laws and his tables. He's preparing them with a double portion. We don't have to walk in fear about what's going to happen to this earth, this world. I don't want nothing from this earth world. I want all my stuff in the new heaven and new earth. As far as what I have right now, it's because he deems it necessary, and he deems me worthy of the little bit I have to help me make it through and keep me walking by faith. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Yeshua HaMashiach. There it is there. Verse 28 of Exodus 16. And the Most High said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See that the Most High hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste, it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Most High commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. This manna, along with the Aaron's rod, tablets of stone, are inside the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. Talking commandments and covenant, I'm getting mixed up. But then we remember, we already read in Deuteronomy that Moses' law and its purpose, all that's affixed as a testimony of what transpired and how we had to be put back in order. You cannot get the people back in order until they come up under the rod of the commandments, which has to do with the shadow of things to come. But we're going to get into what that shadow is. Let's see real quick. Well, those that were on are now gone. So we'll keep going. As soon as we come back, right after this break, we're going to talk about the shadow.
He's a
Josh Long. Welcome back to the Zion Calling, Blueprints for Life. Always be the preacher. And we're talking about doing a review of this new priesthood, new covenant, and what we're walking in so that we better understand that we don't just throw away all of Moses' laws. And we talked about the various different laws and covenants that have been made throughout our Hebrew history. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Abraham, a covenant there, one with Noah. So just understanding that there must be a shedding of blood, especially for this once and for all covenant. Shedding of blood from our brother, Savior, Redeemer, Yeshua, a Mashiach from this world, ignorantly calls Jesus Christ from the offices of a religious lie. So we're uncovering the lies and moving into the truth. We were talking about Moses and his 70 elders with that particular Mosaic covenant for the children of Israel that were being brought out of Egypt. And you'll see that in the Exodus, the 24th chapter. I'm not going to go over that. That's just for your reading a little bit later. So you can do your own study. And it's really important for people to study and not just rely on the internet, YouTube lessons, and sending your money off to anywhere to anybody. You don't know what's going on. Try the spirit by the spirit. Don't believe an image, false image. And especially if these people are able to continue to exist, because I know those who teach the real word to the true people and family of Yah, they're being tossed to and fro on this internet and these airwaves. They're being stamped out because they're telling the people the truth, and truth is being censored right now in a major way. I just had somebody text me, said they can't get into the show because it says it's full, and I see every line open, but who knows what might be transpiring. It's neither here nor there, or is it my concern? To sum everything up that I was reading about the commandments, covenant, to remember that we're no longer under the bondage and depending on others. It's an individual walk within this priesthood, and you must rise up to the occasion. But many of you need to be instructed, trained, and filled with the Holy Spirit. So even though the opportunity for you to walk in this priesthood is there, your conversion and sanctification must transpire. And you're not, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know that saying? But you're not going to learn everything in one night, one day. You must be taught. You need a teacher and then the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can operate in the priesthood. And I don't believe that people will stay up under that teacher forever. But I know that the elders are essential to wisdom and counsel, godly counsel, and that we should submit one to another because we often need to be checked. And the Bible said also, confess your faults one to another. So that's accountability, which falls up under the righteousness within the law and the priesthood. You must be accountable. There are people that are walking in high levels that don't want to be accountable to anyone and abuse these titles, such as elder, bishop, apostle, prophet, to esteem themselves higher than anybody else and above reproach, and my word is the law. No, it's not. And this is where we need the humility that comes through the humbleness and correction of the law. Are you complying within and listening to the Holy Spirit? There's a counsel that must exist for everyone that you can submit to. But I rest my case. Let's move on to some other things. I have so many things written down here. I'm trying to see exactly where we are. I'm going to move into shadow power because we don't have that much time. When we talk about shadows, you need to understand that it's not to be played down because you're quoting the scripture that's found in Colossians 2:17, where to go ahead and read that for you. Colossians 2:17 says this. Let me start at 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon four of the Sabbath days. We talked about this last week, that moon has four different meanings in within the Greek and the Hebrew, maybe six. One of the meanings is a new month. So it's not necessarily lunar or that moon. You would read that and be thrown off and start following the moon. And Jubilees warns us, Enoch warns us, we're not to worship or follow the moon. That gets you right back into idolatry. That's what you fall into. And people start saying, don't let nobody judge you, therefore in meat, that means I can eat pork, whatever I want to eat. That's not what that means, because pork wasn't considered meat. If you ignore the law, then you keep eating barbecue pork ribs and not read the part where it says that swine is unclean for you. It's an unclean animal. Swine, unclean. Dogs, cats, rats, unclean. If you take that out of context, meat, pork, that means you can eat human flesh too, where to a lot of people that's a delicacy. They're eating human flesh. So you have to see what's defined as meat before you go running off on tangents or in respect of a holy day or the Sabbath days. Now, here's the problem, which leads to the lesson, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The problem is how people look at 17. I'm not teaching off of 16. I just need to establish some things real quick. When it says, let no man judge you, it's like he already told us in Titus 3 and 9 that we're not to get into debates and argue and fuss over nationalities, heritages. The Jubilees told us we were going to get thrown off because of leap years and different days with calendars. Just the holy days. Keep the holy days. Somebody might tell me that, I'm not keeping the Feast of Tabernacles the same week they keeping it, so you are. Guess what? I'm keeping it. I'm going to keep it to the best of my knowledge and ability. I'm not going to erroneously make up a day, but I'm going to go to Leviticus 23 and count the days so I understand how to count. And then I know that there's 364 days within a year, because I learned that from Enoch, and that there are four divisions. And there's 2 months with 30 days, and then there's the third month with 31 days, which is how we get our calendar. And that the seasons are depicted by the Hebrew calendar of months, because spring is the new year for us. We don't have to use a military calendar, the vernal equinox, but we understand when it's spring. So I say all that to say that people will judge you in that aspect, because the Most High said we would be off, but we need to understand that we're not just practicing, we're modeling. I think we need to get out of saying that we're practicing, or it's just a shadow, because we minimize the word shadow. Let me help you unminimize this word shadow. I want you to see something real quick. What is a shadow? According to Merriam-Webster, the dark figure cast upon a surface by a body intercepting the rays from a source of light. Let me read it again. The dark figure cast upon a surface by a body intercepting the rays from a source of light. If you are in the shadow of Christ, you are under protection. We're going to get into the scripture in a minute. Let me give you another definition. Partial darkness or obscurity within a part of space which rays from a source of light are cut off by an interposed opaque body. Let's read some more. A shadow. It's an inseparable companion or follower. Just a shadow of things to come. The law. Is that what you're saying? Well, from what I'm saying, it's an inseparable companion of something that's on the heavenly tables, which directs us and guides us. One who shadows someone is following them. When you remember how you used to say, I'm following Christ? Christ kept the Feast of Dedication, Tabernacles, First Fruits, which you see it all in the scriptures. And this is the problem we have, where a lot of people are saying, we don't have to do this anymore. I heard someone say that baptism was being phased out after Christ.
So we don't have to phase out anymore because the word is the water and it's the power of the word. But if Yeshua did it, I want to do it. Because he would have completely phased it out when he got baptized, or he would say, I'm not getting baptized. Listen, shadow, another definition, a pervasive and dominant influence. So you can't minimize it. A shaded or darker portion of a picture, a reflected image. Did it not say that the Most High made man in his image? They don't want you to know as you look like your God. And then listen to this one. It's a shelter from danger or observation. That sounds like what I said the law is, a shelter from danger. It's the hedge around you. The commandments are the hedge around you. That's enough as it pertains to that definition. Now, we understand this, that if we go to Psalms 91, it says he, let me go here and go there, because this Psalms 91 is really indicative of the climate that we're living in right now. I teach from that every week, all day long. Psalms 91 says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is that secret place? Huh? That secret place is that relationship with him and keeping his commandments. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilences. COVID. He shall cover thee with his feathers, secret place. Under his wings, secret place, shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The truth will protect you. You should read Psalms 119, and it better explains the truth, where it comes from, and what it is. Let's look at Psalms 17 and 8. We already established 91, Psalms 91, that says that the secret place is being in the shadow of the Almighty. It was the shadow of the Almighty, which was a cloud by day and a fire by night that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was his presence. You can't minimize a shadow. So if the law is just a shadow, I don't know why you got just in front of it to minimize it. If we're shadowing, we're following, and we're keeping, but seeing that we're no longer in our land and that Yeshua has abolished the necessity of death and sacrificial ceremonies and services, then that aspect is done away with. And so there's a lot of people that say, if you have love, you don't have to keep the commandments. Well, you don't understand that the word says God is love. And then he also said in John that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, this is love to be obedient. This is love to be submissive. It's not love to say, I'm going to do what I want because I'm going to be lawless. No, we know what happens in a lawless society, and we know what happens with people who are lawless. There must be a governance, and I can't trust you enough with the governance that comes from the Holy Spirit if you don't understand Torah, Tanakh, and the law. If you haven't learned what's unclean, why it's unclean, if you don't know what days are holy and sanctified and set apart, from Leviticus 23, and they're telling you just to get rid of that. How are you going to learn what the kingdom of heaven is like and how we're supposed to operate? Let's move on. I said Psalm 17 and 8. Let's look at that one. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. That is a good one. So you're saying it's just a shadow, huh? Talking about shadow power today. There's no safer place. Do 63 and 7. Psalms 63 and 7. Another precept. That's all I'm giving you. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Look at 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. because thy right hand upholds me. You got to go hard in the paint for the Most High. You can't be sitting up here talking about, we don't have to do that no more. No, no, no. You got to seek him early, daily, fasting to deal with demons. You know, these kind come out but by fasting and prayer. Yeah, you got to seek him out. The blessings of Yah come with obedience of being under his wing and keeping his commandments. You can't be lawless and avoid his commandments and say, I'm in his safety. Because he said, he that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Read that 2 weeks ago. That's in the book of Proverbs. Whosoever turneth their ear away from the law, from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He won't even hear you. You're not under the wing if you turn your ear from the law. This is all good. It's a foundation. You can't come into this new covenant like going to school for the first day in your life at 20 years old and you've never been to school. Walk with me. But you finally decide to go get an education and you start at the 10th grade because you say, I'm too old to go to elementary and preschool. I don't need that because of what he's done for me. I'm just going to learn from here. No, you need a substratum, a foundation that can be built upon. You have to understand that the apostles, the disciples, were going to the synagogue on the Sabbath, which happened 86 times after Christ rose and went up into the heavens. You find in the scriptures 86 events where they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and kept Sabbath, but they went to hear the reading of the scrolls, which is Torah and Tanakh, the prophets. They didn't have these little pocket Bibles you got. No, they had to walk in and go get them scrolls, which is why every time they invaded us, invaded our temples, Vespasian and Titus in 70 AD and surrounded the Hebrews, conquered them. They took our scrolls and our information. A lot of that stuff is buried up underneath the Vatican right now, which is why last year the Vatican came out and confessed that the whole New Testament written by the apostles was written in Hebrew, not Greek, which therefore gives you the lie of the name being Jesus, Latin and Greek. No, his name is Yeshaya. Job 7 and 2. Come on, Job. All right, Job 7 and 2 reads this. It says, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an heirling looketh for the reward of his work. He's saying even a hireling desires the shadow to be in the presence of its owner, its creator, its boss. You're not understanding that it's not just a shadow of things to come. No. The thing that is coming is Yeshua and the Most High's kingdom. And so you're a kingdom prepper by keeping these laws and commandments. And you should not even be sitting up here talking about, I'm going to take a day off and go have me a rib sandwich because I really miss them ribs. It's unclean. It's unclean. There's so many parasites and antibiotics. And those pigs eat anything. They were designed to clean up the earth. They even eat human flesh, dead dogs. They eat whatever they get their hands on. It's full of parasites. Not to mention there's demonic spirits that come along with these swine. He tried to tell you when the demon said, cast us into the swine. If you're going to cast us out, this man, can we at least go into another body, the pigs? Can we live in the unclean pig? Go. He immediately put him into the pigs, but he would never cast out a spirit and allow the spirits to go into another person. He let it go into swine, pigs, but you all negate that story, just like you negate the first miracle being turning water into wine, and you want to make it grape juice.
All right, let me finish this because I'm getting in that way. So I'm going to let those scriptures speak before I read this about Abram. I want you to see something. I want to encourage you at the time that we're living in 2021. It's not just a shadow of things to come. We have grace, knowing that, no, you can't keep them all. But if there's an area where you're lacking in, he said, go on to perfection. So you're looking to perfect your life in holiness. So you start adhering to these things and you become better at it. You don't start off a good cook, a good painter. With time, you grow. You learn new tricks of the trade. You espouse to go higher in the kingdom by teaching what you know from the commandments and learning more because you want to draw closer to him. We are a new priesthood. We're under a new covenant. You have a connectivity through the Holy Spirit, but you must grow daily. You don't have the luxury anymore of saying, I'm already in like Flynn. You're not in on Flynn like Flynn where you just give up and kick back. This is where Revelation says the saints must have patience for the return of Christ and redemption from this problem. Jeremiah 15:7 told us that Yah is our habitation of justice. You seek injustice from people who hate you that have set up governments to destroy you. Instead, you're supposed to be waiting patiently on his return based upon the promises and separating yourself from this world by keeping the commandments which make you Kodesh. That's what separates you, by adhering to the laws of our land, not this land. It's a lie, Romans 13, because even Daniel and the three Hebrew boys knew that the government, you don't do everything the government says. Just because they okay gay marriage, you just say, I can go ahead and get be gayly married now because the government said it's okay. No, they said we will obey God rather than obey you, obey man. So they put him in the den with lions, and those lions was just like saying, hey, man, how you doing? They didn't even want to touch it. And the Hebrew boys didn't get burnt. We will obey Yah first before we obey man and start acting like the world, eating what the world eats, going where the world goes, dressing how the world dresses. Well, how do I dress? I got to bring you back to the law and then let you elevate and rise up to keeping the Ten Commandments to carry on, operating and walking in forgiveness and love. This is a process. This is a process, brothers and sisters. So if you want shadow power, come up under those things that they say in Colossians 2:17. It's just a shadow of things to come. No, don't minimize it. A shadow is more powerful than you understand. It is a reflection of the very image, a follower. It is that wing. It is that safety. It is that protection. It is Psalms 91. It is your prayer being answered. So we don't negate. No. Even as Paul said, no, we establish the law. Do we negate the law? He said, no, Yah forbid. We establish it. So you get it. But we got grace for those things that we don't see or understand. Let me share something with you before we get up out of here. I should say share something else. In 1 second. Okay, here we go. I wanted to read about Abram to encourage you before we check out. And it's this. In the book of Jasher, in the 11th chapter, 31st verse says, and in the evening of that day in that house, Abram was clothed with the spirit of Yah at his father's home. Abram literally received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit way before Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was here. When you skip, you can read the whole story, but when you skip to verse 43 and it says, and Abram answered his father and said to him, and how can thou then serve these idols in whom there is no power to do anything? Can those idols in which thou trusted deliver thee? Can they hear your prayers when thou callest upon them? Can they deliver thee from the hands of thine enemies? Or will they fight the battles for thee against the enemies that thou shouldest serve wood and stone, which can neither speak nor hear? That sage, the tarot cards, Catholic statues and candles, that fat Buddha you got sitting in your house, those crystals, ain't none of them going to help you and save you from nothing.
Yes, I will tell you this. There are demonic people walking around us who have the seed of Satan inside of them. I'm talking about the literal seed. They call them aliens, but they're part Satan. And there's evil all around us. And they're fluoridating the water. The chemtrails are real. But even Most High said, when you take up any deadly thing, it will not harm you. He says, I will protect my people. And he said, I'm even going to shorten the days, because if I don't, none of you guys are going to survive with what Satan is trying to do to you, because he wants to destroy my creation. And he's trying to copy me with artificial intelligence and hybrids of people. But none of these things that you try to do to save your life will keep you. Because unfortunately, you fall apart of the God from 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, whom the 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them. The gods of this world will blind you from seeing the truth and coming into the truth. So as long as you are holding on to the sage, to the crystals, to the swine, to your sexual appetite, whatever god it is that you got to have, that you refuse to let go of, it will keep you blind to coming into the knowledge of truth and who Yah is. Abram, before he was Abraham, got upset with all of the idolatry that was in his father's house and broke it all up, destroyed it in this chapter. When we go to chapter 12 and 4, we find out that he tried to tell his father somebody else did it. He lied. He ran for his life. And his father was serving Nimrod, the king. And so he ended up having to run from his father, because the Most High was getting ready to extract him from that land so that he could start a holy lineage, bloodline. Abraham was getting ready to, beget Isaac and Jacob. So he was removed from the Chaldeans that worshiped the moon and other pagan gods. They were polytheistic, which is why his own father had tons of gods. His father went and told Nimrod on him. And look what it says in 12 and 4. And therefore, decide what judgment is due to this man who reviled the king who spoke and did all the things that you heard. And they all answered the king, saying, the man who reviled the king should be hanged on a tree, as they always have done us. But having done all these things that he said and having despised our gods, he must therefore be burned to death, for this is the law in this matter. So they wanted to burn Abram to death for destroying all of their pagan gods. And do you know that we were told every time we go into a certain captivity or overtake a land while moving into the promised land, we were to destroy all of the pagan gods, temples, and altars? And, that'd be pretty serious today. They'd definitely try to throw you in jail and destroy you, because there's so many pagan temples and altars everywhere. But these people trusted Yah so much, they were willing to face death. And there's not many of us like that now. What we have is a bunch of compromisers under colonizers. And that's what this whole world has come to. It's like last week the brother was on here saying that men need to get some shamefacedness too. That's a lie. He's called men. He said in Ezekiel, I have made your forehead strong like a flint rock so that your face will be hard as you deal with your people, because they are hard-headed and stiff-necked. They wouldn't listen to me, so what makes you think they're going to listen to you? He said, but I'm going to make your face hard against theirs, so they'll think twice about messing with you. Then Isaiah 58, he turned around and said, lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion. That's loud, and tell my people they in sin. There's no shamefacedness about that, because he said, if you be ashamed of me, I shall be ashamed of you. He told Peter, who was ashamed of him, to go up there and get filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. And once he received the power from on high, Peter wasn't ashamed. He came out at the festival telling people, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days he was no more ashamed. He was like, y'all can kill me if you want. I watched my Savior die, rise, and go to heaven. And now I'm willing to die for him. Ain't no shame facedness when it comes to this as it pertains to the men. That the book of Ezekiel says, my congregation are men, and men will be men, and iron sharpens iron. So there'll be no more softness on this radio broadcast or lies, and I mean that. Chapter 12, verse 21, and they brought them both, Abram and Haran, his brother. Haran was Abram was actually the child of a bondservant to his father. Aram was his father's real son, who he didn't want to get killed. Terah was his father's name, who was worshiping idols. So he said in verse 14, I took a son of my handmaid, and I brought him to the king and said, he's my son. Well, so the king, Nimrod, said, I tell you what, I'm going to take Abram and Haran and burn both of them. So listen, he cast them both into the fire. This is chapter 12 and 21. And all the inhabitants of the land and the king's servants and princes and all the women and little ones were there standing that day over them. And the king's servants took Abram and his brother, and they stripped them of all their clothes, excepting their lower garments, which were upon them. And they bound their hands and feet with linen cords, and the servants of the king lifted them up and cast them both into the furnace. And the Lord loved Abram so much, he had compassion over him. And the Lord came down and delivered Abram from the fire, and he was not burned. But all the cords with which they bound him were burned, while Abram remained and walked about in the fire. And Haran, his brother, died when they cast him in the fire, and he was burnt to ashes, for his heart was not perfect with the Most High. And those men who cast him into the fire, the flame of the fire spread over them as well, and they were burnt. And 12 of those guards died, just trying to throw people in the fire. Verse 27 said, and Abram walked in the midst of the fire 3 days and three nights. That's prophecy. Just like Jonah in the whale and our brother Yeshua, 3 days and three nights in the earth. Abram walked in the fire for 3 days, three nights, to the amazement of the people. And they came and told the king, saying, behold, we've seen Abram walking about in the midst of the fire, and even the lower garments which are upon him are not burnt, but the cord with which he was bound is burned. Let me pause real quick. This is not an allegory or a story, okay? Some of you people trying to read the Bible and think that every story that you don't understand is a metaphor or an allegory or a parable or a dark sentence. This is literal. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to explain to you what's a parable and how to understand it. Jesus told the people that he speaks in parables so that only his people will understand what he's saying and only they will get it. Not everybody's going to get it. Somebody got on here last week with that shame face and the stuff and says it's an allegory. We know he speaks in allegory, so this is an allegory because it pertains to men too. Shut up. It's a lie. It's in the pit of hell. I'm not dealing with lies. That's it. So this is not an allegory. Abram walked in the fire for 3 days and three nights, just like Daniel was in the lion's den. Verse 28, and when the king heard their words, his heart fainted, and he would not believe it. And he sent other faithful princes to see this matter, and they went and saw it and told it to the king. And the king rose to go and see it, and he saw Abram walking to and fro in the midst of the fire. And he saw Haran's body burn, and the king wondered greatly. And the king ordered Abram to be taken out from the fire. And his servants approached to take him out, and they could not, for the fire was round about, and the flame ascending toward them from the furnace. And the king's servants fled from the fire, and the king rebuked them, saying, make haste, and bring me Abram out of the fire, or you shall die. And the servants of the king again approached to bring Abram out, and the flames came up upon them and burnt their faces, so that 8 more men died, trying to take him out the fire. And when the king saw that his servants could not approach the fire, lest they should be burned, the king called to Abram, O servant of Yah, who is in heaven, go forth from amidst the fire and come hither before me. And Abram hearkened to the voice of the king Nimrod, and he went forth from the fire and came and stood before the king, just walked out. And when Abram came out, the king and all his servants saw Abram coming before the king with his lower garments upon him, for they were not burnt, but the cord with which he was bound was burnt. And the king said to Abram, how was it that thou was not burned in the fire? And Abram said to the king, the God of heaven and earth, in whom I trust and who has all in his power, he delivered me from the fire into which thou did cast me. And Haran, the brother of Abram, was burnt to ashes, and they sought for his body, and they found it consumed. And Haran was 82 years old when he died in the fire of Kazdim. And the king, princes, and inhabitants of the land, seeing that Abram was delivered from the fire, they came and bowed to Abram. And Abram said to them, do not bow to me, but bow down to Yah,
of the world who made you, and serve him and go in his ways. For it is he who delivered me from out of this fire, and it is he who created the souls and spirits of all men and formed man in his mother's womb and brought him forth into the world. And it is he who will deliver those who trust in him from all pain. That is you. Now, you ain't worried about no C19, no pandemic. You're not worried about none of that stuff. You're not worried about a third world war, nuclear bombs, or any fire, because you know that you are in the shadow of protection. You are within the priesthood. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not just keeping a shadow. You're staying close to him by doing the things he established for you to do. The very commandments that were written by his own finger is what's given to you. And I want to encourage you that that king gave Abram 300 servants, calves, gold and silver. He gave him enough to start what was the beginning of the Hebrew bloodline and culture, as he had people following him because he broke up idols, trusted in Yah, and did not compromise and remained steadfast. Even when we came out of Egypt, we came out with wealth. So even in this time, I want you to know, don't change, don't bow, don't compromise, don't stop keeping the commandments, don't allow yourself to be confused on holy days and Sabbaths. Just do it and keep it and study to show yourself approved. And be not deceived, for God is not mocked. There's no confusion in Yah. The confusion comes from Satan. Understand this word and what's in there. He just keeps delivering us from the fire, and we're going to be purged by the fire. And whatever comes out of the fire comes out as pure gold. That's been my time. I am Be the Preacher. You have been listening to, what have you been listening to? Zion Calling, Blueprint for Life, here on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Get you some rest. Qam Yasha Allah. Let's rise, Israel. Shema Yasha Allah. Shema to our Elohim, Yahuwah. Eka, the Most High is one. That's what I said. And we bid peace to you as well. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. May the Most High bless and keep you as well. I don't see anybody pressing the number one with any questions or with their hands up. If there's anybody that did have questions, now would be the time before we check out. Okay. All right. We want to thank you for listening. Most High in Christ's bus. Until next time. Zion's Calling.